I am Olympia Lapointe, here with you with Answers Unleashed, a talk show to help you reshape your brain with science and faith to find the answers in front of you. Now, this is a new show, and for those of you who tuned in last week, thank you for coming back. And if you're new this week, well, there's a lot that you're going to find out. Last week, we talked about the TRIA brain, how the brain is broken up into three separate sections, the faith side, the scientific side, and the emotional side that helps you find answers in front of you. And it was really great when we talked about how the gravitational forces, not only in space, and the gravitational waves in space are not only there, but it's also unleashed in our brain. So today, we have a really exciting topic for you. It is attraction. Now, before I tell you about attraction, let me share this little story with you. And if you could just imagine this with me. There's this woman named Victoria. She walks into this local restaurant that she loves going to, and she looks around the crowd and she sees attractive people, and she finds her friend, and she sits down next to her friend. They begin talking, exchanging words, having a great time. She continues to look around the room and she sees attractive people, but no one catches her eye. Then this tall man walks in, and he walks in and she immediately notices him. But he doesn't notice her. She's talking with her friend and she's doing slight, subtle things. She's moving her hair. She's touching her bracelet. And then she gets up and goes to the bathroom. And when she comes out, she sees him directly, and she walks right in front of this tall man. And he looks at her, and he says, "Well, hello." She immediately gazes straight into his eyes and smiles, and she says hello back. And she looks down, and she looks at him again, and she continues walking over to her friend and sits again with her friend at the table. He's taken aback by Victoria. He's looking at her from across the room, and he gathers enough courage up, and he walks over to her, and he says, "Well, hello, I'm Lars. How are you? My friends are about to leave in a little bit, and we're about to go somewhere else, but I would like to keep in contact with you. Is that possible?" And Victoria looks at him, and she was very attracted to him the moment that he walked through the door, and so she naturally says, But of course, I would definitely love to talk to you a little bit more." So he proceeds to give her his card, and he asks her to contact him, and he walks off. Now, a year and a half pass, and you would think that a romantic relationship would start between these two people, and you would think it would be some sort of physical attraction or even sexual attraction. But what if I told you that it had nothing to do with that? What if I told you it was brain attraction? Now, I didn't tell you a little bit of the backstory about each one of the characters of the story that I just shared. Well, 1 week prior to Victoria entering that restaurant, she started physical therapy. And she had a surgery in which she needed to regain all the nerve endings in a certain part of her body so she could feel sensations from it again. So she was going to this physical therapist, and she desperately needed a way to be able to retrain her body to be able to feel different sensations that she had missed after going through surgery. And there was a backstory with Lars. Lars was in the restaurant, and he was a professional trainer. He was a person who coached people in soccer, and he was very good at it. But honestly, he was lacking a little bit of excitement in his life, and he didn't have the mental focus to do what he really wanted to do, which was start a business. Now, surprisingly, their attraction had everything to do with their brain. All right, last week I talked about the gravitational forces that existed, the gravitational energy waves that formed after two black holes collided. So here is my Lapointe brain attraction theory. When we have a problem that we have to solve, when we have an issue that we need to find an answer to, our brain sends out signals inside of our body and outside of our body to attract answers. Similar to the gravitational waves and the energy that was found when two black holes collided, when our neurons collide, it needs to get information out there to receive help. Now, this is such a strange phenomenon. Brain attraction is so fascinating because we attract people based on how they can help us solve a problem. And that is how our brain actually reshapes. With the story with Victoria and Lars, their attraction was based on a physical body-brain reshaping situation. This body-brain reshaping situation allowed Victoria, through interaction with Lars, to be able to know how her body would retrain. He was professionally helping people know how to master their body. And she was a specialist in education. And so as she interacted with Lars, Lars found enough mental focus to decide to create the coffee shop down the street in the opening that was next available. But their relationship changed. And then it changed from a physical need to an emotional need. After a couple of months, the situation and the answers were unleashed in a different way. She wanted a relationship, and his mother passed away. And as they worked through that emotional solution, their brain reshaped. And it's so fascinating. The brain sends out waves, both internal and external, to the world. Okay, let me describe this and explain this a little better. For others, when they see us, people approach us based on what we send out to the world. Here's an example. Have you ever been in a room and you were thinking about someone and then all of a sudden they called you? Well, in that case, you are actually sending out what I call gravitational brain waves to that person that transcended time and space, and that person received your need for communication. That's an external example. And here's an internal example. Have you ever made a certain gesture to someone to come help you? Let's say you dropped a pen and someone came over and automatically picked up the pen and gave it to you. That was your brain giving information to the rest of your body to signal out that you needed help. Now, there's certain what I call key factors in signaling. When your brain sends out information, there's two people that respond, two types of people respond. One type of person who responds is a person who can actually help you solve the problem because they've gone through the problem themselves to find the answers, and they have built up a confidence in them to be able to know how to share, how to find the pathway to get to the answers. And then there's another type of person, the person that will help you remain stuck in your problem. Now, I find this very fascinating. I loved studying physical movement. For those of you that don't know, I actually trained to be a professional dancer before going into a rocket science, and that was at my Hamilton High School Music Academy. Shout out over to all my Hammy grads. Well, I actually trained to be a professional dancer. And I loved watching how the body moves. And we communicate so much to how our body moves that we are sometimes unaware of the brain signals that are being sent to our muscles. Now, when people have a certain issue that they need solving, their brain sends out a wave. And there's two people that approach, and I'll say this again, there's people who can help, and there's people who will get you stuck even more And we all know we've experienced this in life. And I know people are nodding their heads right now going, yeah, that's true. Now, there's key factors and there's key body movements where you will know from someone's brain waves that they have been stuck in an issue. Now, let me just list off some of these things that I have witnessed through movement. So when someone's stuck in a situation, when their body is giving you clues that they need help, their eyes cannot stay completely focused. Sometimes they have inability to be able to sit for long periods of time. Or a person will drop things regularly or not be as focused physically. They'll bump into things often. You'll see them touch their face often. That is the type of way of being able to caress or console themselves in the middle of stress. You'll see them tap their feet or move their hand or tap the table often. I see this when people are taking tests. You'll see them smiling excessively. Not just smiling on purpose, but smiling excessively. That's nervousness. They'll be playing with their hair extensively. They'll even have a high-pitched voice like this. Instead of a lower-pitched voice, they'll have a high-pitched voice because they're not quite sure or secure in themselves in situations. And then sometimes they'll feel difficulty swallowing or deeply breathing in their chest through their mouth. These are the signs that someone is facing an issue and the brain is sending waves to the rest of the body to communicate that. Now, when someone is proficient and is an expert at solving problems, they can send a different set of messages from their brain. And it gets, translated through their body in a completely different set of type of interactions and movements and gestures. So when the brain solves a variety of problems in someone's life, that person exudes a confidence because they have been able to successfully find answers in other areas of their life, and therefore it transforms the way that they think, which then transforms the waves that moves to the rest of their bodily organs. Now, some of the solution-finding language looks like this. They'll have clear and direct eye contact. They'll have an upright gesture. Their chest will be out. They'll have a steady pace when they walk. They walk with a focus. They usually have a deeper controlled voice that's usually paused in certain areas like this. They'll have strategic smiling. It's not just smiling at everything. It's smiling to convey a specific point of excitement, of happiness, of a directed emotion. They'll breathe deeply through their nose, not through their mouth. They'll have also a way that they communicate themselves through their style. They'll typically have some sort of orderly attire, whatever their style is. They'll typically have a constructed way in which they like to appear to the world. And typically these individuals are, through their nonverbal body language, are voted into office or sometimes they're viewed as leaders in their community. They're always the one who people will think will be able to always handle an issue at hand. Now, those are the ways that the brain sends internal messages to the rest of our body so that our body then communicates with other people. But there's also external signals. And these external signals is when the brain sends for people to help. It's like an SOS message. So there's two types of people. People who can help and people who will make your problem worse. So the people who can help, these are the people who help your vision or your perception change. They assist you in finding new pathways to a solution. And literally, there are new pathways that are formed in the brain. And their brain has already formed that own pathway. And so as their brain has formed that pathway in their system, they, through their influence in your life, exude that energy into your life so your brain can literally form a new pathway to find answers. And this is a part of neuroscience. Neuroplasticity is when the brain reshapes itself. Now, there's another type of group of people who help you make your problem worse. And these are people who keep you in a fixed way of viewing the problem. They're the ones that promote the continuous way of being able to handle a situation, even though it has never completely resolved the problem at hand. So for a better example of this, I'll give you information. Consider a student, a girl who's in school. She didn't do too well in high school, and she enters a community college. And her brain is sending signals to others in her class that she didn't do well in high school, and she didn't necessarily know how to study or what to do in this new class and this new system. So she unknowingly was sending out brain signals to the rest of the people around her that she was insecure and not secure in herself in being able to find the right process to succeed in school. So she was approached by two people. She was approached by two groups of people. One group of people were studious individuals. They were people who knew how to study in high school but chose to go to a community college because it was less expensive. And they were in school, and these are the people that would later on, 10 years, become neuroscientists and rocket scientists. And she was approached by a second group of people. These were people who would later drop out of school, never complete their associate's arts degree, and only wish they had finished with their bachelor's degree. So the people who dropped out were encouraging her to socialize in lieu of studying. And the people who were going to be the future neuroscientists and rocket scientists offered a new approach. They offered a way for her to be able to see that you could socialize and study at the same time. So with that particular solution, she found a way to make new friends and ace her classes because she found a new way of being able to solve her problem. Now, there's ways for you to determine which group you have encountered. So there's three tips, and these are the tips, and I always love to leave you with some tips. The first tip is you have to investigate the person's life on the person who has approached you. Now, do they have their life together? Do they have certain aspects together, and what are they? Or is their life in complete chaos? Have they accomplished what it is that they are trying to tell you what to do? That's a major question. If they haven't, that's a sign for you to actually run the opposite direction. It's a sign for you to know that they may wish that they know the answer and they are making it seem like they know, but in reality, they don't. So you have to investigate a person's life, and that requires you being around them for you to know if what they say corresponds to what it is that they do. And that's the part of the brain that shows consistency. The second aspect that you have to watch for is watch for what they do in times of crisis. I know a lot of you are thinking really deeply about this one, and I see my producer shaking his head thinking, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to watch for what a person does in a time of crisis. How do they face their issue? Do they run away from it? Do they not pretend that it doesn't exist, or do they face it head on? Do they distract themselves from the issue, or do they place themselves directly in it? The leaders are the people who learn to reshape their brain. And they have learned that when you directly focus on removing an issue, by finding an alternate approach, their brain reshapes. And they're the individuals to get in the middle of a problem and face it head on. And that's also where the faith and the courage part of the brain exudes. Now, if someone in a time of crisis distracts themselves, we've seen it happen over and over again. They'll turn to the internet. They'll turn to relationships. They'll turn to alcohol or substances. They'll try to distract themselves from the present. So, in this particular situation, you have to watch what someone chooses to do and how they handle the particular situation. You want to follow someone who is willing to get dirty by solving the problem so they can be completely clean after. That was deep. I just said that I had to stop myself and I had to think, wow, that was deep. That was so insightful. The third way for you to know that what type of person it is that is attracting or attracted to your brainwaves is you have to look at what they have accomplished in their own life. What have they decided to do to reshape their brain to accomplish great feats? Now, some people are great at reshaping their brain in physical type of scenarios. And that is great. You would want to take advice from that person if they have learned to be able to be an expert dancer or an expert soccer player, that then they have a way to be able to reshape themselves. However, but if they're an expert soccer player, but then have never, ever learned to be able to create a business on their own, chances are you would want to go to a business coach, someone who has learned the process in and out of looking at S corporations, C corporations, LLCs, and can tell you the different tax structures that will prevent problems down the line. And then you have to know that some people are there to follow the crowd, and they don't create their success, honestly. You will encounter people who will go through situations and they will mimic other people but not create success on their own. So you have to watch out for these people and recognize that these are not the trailblazers. These are not the innovators. These are not the people that you are to follow. Because you are an innovator. You are a life changer. And you create a situation. So if I can leave you with this, know that you have the ability to attract whatever it is that you need, and that you will attract people who will help you, but it becomes your decision on who to trust. For more information and tips, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/OlympiaLapointe. You can ask any question you'd like at 888-88-ANSWERS. And feel free to always look at our website, answersunleashed.com, to find out our schedule and find out people to listen to and get information from. Until next time, tune in next Wednesday on KPCR Radio. KPC Radio to hear all the great news that we have. And I look forward to seeing you again. I am Olympia Lapointe, coming to you with Answers Unleashed.
And that was Olympia Lapointe. And on Answers Unleashed on KPCRadio.com.